This is CliffCentral.com.
It's Friday morning. You thought you wouldn't get here, and look at you. Look at you. You made it to the end of the week. Whew. Still cold? Obviously, it's going to be like this for a little while. It hasn't been ball-achingly cold. I will never forget the winter of 2010. World Cup 2010. Jeez. I got home one night after watching South Africa play Uruguay. All the plants had ice on them.
Ice on them.
It was vicious.
Ball aching to the cold.
No, they'd all...
Well, that's the thing about the cold, see, it attacks your balls.
Oh. It does. Don't you feel that? Like, first thing you get out of bed, you're like, oh, geez, my balls are so cold. You have to jiggle them around a little bit. Warm them up under the shower water, or in Ben's case, freeze them to almond size.
Yeah, mine are pretty tough.
They can handle the cold?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good news, Ben. I went to this, she's just the most angelic, wonderful woman yesterday. Her name is Christina, and I go to her for a skin treatment every couple of months, and she does this thing called microneedling. Did I tell you about it?
Uh-uh.
So she takes this machine of hers. It's got, I don't know, 100 little needles in it. She puts it in your face, and she actually, like, and it goes deep into your skin.
So it doesn't hurt.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, you have to put skin numbing cream on first, and that has to numb the face for about 20 minutes, and then she goes around to this thing. And it's basically, you bleed. I mean, you bleed all over your face. They call it the vampire facial.
I've heard of this.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Between you and Sia, you guys.
And then she rubs the blood into your face. It's very macabre.
What should you do? Take a dump in your chest afterwards?
No. It's pretty.
This sounds ridiculous.
It is hectic. And then afterwards, it's very sensitive and tender and all the rest of it.
For like six
hours or so. Then it goes away, but you still look a little bit red. You look like you might have just been in the sun a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then after 2 days, it goes, but then you start, like, peeling off that layer.
It just looks like you've got a drinking problem now.
Is that what I look like?
You arrive, you look like Hugh Bladen all of a sudden.
Well, I just thought I'd come in and test the waters, let you know that I've started to drink quite heavily.
Is he still commentating?
Not really.
Lesser matches, unfortunately.
He's not really...
Well, I mean,
he's old.
He's old.
Not in his prime, is what I was going to say.
Unfortunately, he is. He's long in the tooth. Yeah.
So anyway, she does this treatment on you, and then, I mean, it's really good, because I swear to you, for 6 months after that, your skin is just perfect. It's just lovely. I didn't have the greatest skin when I was a kid. I didn't have the worst, but... You know, when you're a teenager, you hate your skin. You always think it looks shitty. And anyway, she sorts you out. And then once all of that trauma of the first 3 or 4 days is over, you really, you love your skin.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels good.
Is that how soon you can see the results?
Oh, yeah. And she gets rid of, sun damage and everything else. So it's really useful. I mean, I think that the technology is advanced so much. A lot of people think that this stuff is bullshit, but I can tell you from personal experience, it works.
Can I get rid of whiskey damage?
I think so. Should we send Hugh Bladen?
Interesting. You send Hugh Bladen, Trevor Quirk, Martin Locke.
Wow, that's some selection.
You throw them in there for vampire facials. That'd be an amazing
infomercial. Hello and welcome to the first vampire facial for me, Trevor Quirk and Martin Locke. We'll see who comes out of this with the best response to years of whiskey damage and over drinking and smoking and being in a rugby stadium, in my case.
Yeah, it would. By the way, can we just talk about the football last night? Because something very, very fun happened. I mean, obviously Argentina fucked up completely.
Watching Argentinian fans, exploding.
No, I was sitting at home. I watched a bit of the Argentina game with my brother, with big Argentina fans. And we were sort of trepidatious about this World Cup. I wasn't as gung-ho and overly excited about the team as I was in previous World Cups, because really they've been very disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't expecting much from this one. You know, the last World Cup and the one before that, Messi was really, you know, he was a magic ingredient, and he just pulled the rest of the team with him. This time I kind of felt like, and he didn't have the greatest World Cup for the last two either, even though he pulled the team with him, and there's huge expectation on Argentina.
He was a golden boot last time out.
Correct. Mm. The point is that, well, I mean, he was a golden boot, so he did okay in that one. But the previous one here in South Africa, he was not great. He didn't really do very much. Didn't get a chance to, and they mark him, you know, wherever he is on the field. Point is, we were both kind of, you know, it'll be nice if they get through, and then we'll get excited once they deliver results. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be these fanatics who expect the team to do well and then they do okay. Anyway, Argentina were a disaster last night. They lost 3-0. So annoyed. That last goal, it was in
extra time.
Oh, for God's sake.
It was amazing. The score of that last goal, he was literally about to die 20 minutes prior to that. Mm-hmm. Lying near death.
No, and then and he suddenly resurrected himself
to score a goal.
Anyway, look, I don't want to talk about the match that much, but I got a message from Sia, and Ben got it too, because it's on this group that we've got. And Sia was watching the football, and he had a glass of whiskey in his hand. It was fantastic. Sia sends this picture to us. Whiskey and watching the World Cup. I'm on the manly journey and think I'll have chest hair by the time the show starts tomorrow. How fantastic, Sia.
I was trying, folks. I was trying.
Very impressed.
But if I now set the scene, you'll realize how it's so not on the manly journey. But I had gone out for dinner last night, and I came home. It was roughly at around like 9:30, something to 10. And around that time, just as I'm about to sleep, I need to do my whole process of the moisturizer, yes, letting that sink in. So when your face is all like full of stuff, you can't exactly like lie on your pillow. So I needed to pass the time somehow, and I thought, oh right, that soccer thing. And I had a bottle of whiskey, which I was gifted a while ago, so I thought, why not crack
so
that
open it up, huh?
Absolutely. Open that up, sit on the couch, you try to understand what's going on. All I just saw
was, I'm proud of you.
I just saw tons of people in the stands who are Argentina supporters who looked really, really bleak. That's what I was following.
So for the rest of the match, Sia was sending us pictures of Argentinian supporters who looked miserable.
Oh, it was so funny.
Because obviously the cameras are going around the stadium showing you these heartbroken people who've traveled a long way. I mean, from Argentina to Russia is a shit of a long way, you know?
Who are properly invested, and you could
tell. They're wearing
the
kit, they got the scarves on, they've got the hats, they brought banners all around the stadium. Oh, man.
Who was the guy? I presume it was the Argentinian coach, bald guy with tattoos.
He was the best, because he had had the jacket on. He had the jacket on, and then it was like 1-0, he saw the jacket on, 2-0, boom, jacket gone.
And the fat stomach.
Prison tattoos for days.
And then he was walking around shouting at everybody.
And at the end of the match, he just walked off, didn't shake hands with anybody.
He pushed past
some guy who was trying to get him to stay on the field.
Yeah.
He was like, fuck you! But he just looked like a really bad guy who just missed out on getting cast for Narcos.
That's exactly right.
At one stage of his arm, they just colored it in. They were like, nah, just color it in now. Run out of ideas. You've got so many tattoos already.
You could tell just how pissed they were. And I think it was that last goal that just set everyone off in the wrong way possible. Because it was like, really, guys? Another nail in this coffin?
Ideally, it should have been the other way around. Argentina could have got 3-0. They would have gone to the top of the group. But, I'm not even upset. I'm just disappointed.
That's even worse. That is even worse.
Watching this one child who was having a proper cry. But you know when you actually go, and like you have an uncontrollable cry, like when your body gyrates.
Yeah, you
your
shake.
Head's, like this kid, he must have been probably, I don't know, like 12, and his dad's sitting next to him. And the dad, you can just see the dad's like, just wants to say, oh, just shut up, just get. But then you can see his kid's like into this crying fit, and he's like, okay, I better hug him.
Oh, no.
Because the dad's also pissed off. He's trying to come to terms with this. But now the kid's having this cry fit.
See, I have to admire sportsmen for their diligence and how still after everything they still have to walk off the field with their heads held high. I'm too petty. If I lost and I was an Argentinian player, I don't even want to shake your hands. Like, whatever, screw you guys.
No, you have to. You have
my
to
arms and leave.
You don't do an Ashwin Willemser and just storm away. It wouldn't be good.
Oh, like the coach?
Yeah. By the way, if you do speak Afrikaans and you have the time, Waldemar Pelser, he's been a guest on our show before, does a news and actuality show on CakeNet. Mm-hmm. He did like a 2-minute thing on Ashwin, which I thought was very good. In Afrikaans, so I'm afraid no point in me playing it. But go and take a look if you're interested. You could find him online. He's on YouTube, I think.
What's
anyway,
the gist of it, Gareth?
Speaking of Afrikaans, well, he basically says, you know what? They went through all 51 pages of the report.
Yeah.
And the judge in this case, the commissioner, the arbitrator, begged Ashwin to just give testimony and explain what was going on. Wouldn't do it. Now he's going to appeal this at the Equality Court. But the judge gave him every opportunity during this investigation to tell his side of the story so that they could include everything. So Valdemar reckons this is just a case of someone being unprofessional, not knowing what to do about it, in the moment behaving badly and then concocting an excuse because he's got a victim mentality and he feels inferior. And that the guy just has got to get over himself because he's embarrassing. Which I think is a very interesting take. Of course, that's not how it's going to go down in social media, but who cares? I mean, like, who's really interested in these obnoxious nobodies on social media? They should go back to where they were prior to social media, which is hollering from a street corner where we would drive past them and maybe give some change, you know, and say, shame, you need to go and get some, you know, medication. Really? That's how it is. Anyway, speaking of Afrikaans, Vanessa van Wyk, there's this woman on, she was selling some shit. Did you hear about this?
I saw that.
This is so great. So I'll translate. Yeah, it's so great. So this woman, I don't know what the story is here, but she and her husband were selling everything.
Yeah.
So someone, a random person who they don't know, comes on and goes, hi, ek sien op die groep ons verkoop alles dat jy 'n trourok verkoop, which means, hi, I see on the group we're selling everything that you're trying to sell your wedding dress. So she replies, hello, dog, but with lots of O's and lots of A's. Hello there. Ja, dit is so. Yes, it is true. Soek jy hom? Do you want it? Ek sal jou discount gee, with again, lots of E's.
So
3,500 rand, dan sê joune. 3,500 rand, then it's yours. Right?
Yes.
So he replies, or she replies, nee, ek soek hom nie. No, I don't want it. Ek wil maar net sê, dis 'n fucking lelike rok. I just want to say, it's a fucking ugly dress. So this woman then replies, fuck jou man, wat bly jy? Ek bliksem jou.
Oh, what a beautiful language.
Jy bly stil. It's just great. It's really the funniest thing ever.
That's so wise. Oh, Vanessa van Wyk.
I love it, right?
You're trying to just get your dress.
I'm going to say it's a fork in the other girl.
To be honest, it was kind of...
I love that.
For a wedding dress, it was kind of nasty.
That's like with... Willie Madisha and Naledi Pandor.
And Hong Hong Hong.
Hong Hong Hong. I love it. We do have a fantastic country. We take the piss out of each other all the time. Migs wants to know, has Mabale met or already know anyone, or has Mabale met or already know her replacement is? Well, what we're going to do here is change things up a little bit. You know, every time there's a change on the show, we get an opportunity to kind of engineer things, and that's the plan. This week we're kind of just keeping things together and figuring a whole lot of stuff out, but believe me, there is a plan, and that plan is going to kick into action ASAP. I just don't want to, I want to set up too many expectations, because then you overpromise and underdeliver, and I don't want to get people thinking that things are just going to be this way, like it is this week forever either, because neither of those are true. But just hang in there, okay? I promise you I'm not going to let you down. If the quality is shit, then you tell me. I did get some feedback from someone who was pissed off yesterday. Let me read this to you. Okay, yeah. Hey, Gareth, Sia, Ben, an unknown new person, and rest of the team. I think they probably meant because it came in yesterday, Gord. I just wanted to say that nobody likes Gareth's long, boring rants. He is truly the Weet-Bix of the show. Long, painful, cringy opinions that can fuck all the way off. Nobody there to say... fuck off like Mubs did. We truly miss her. Sia won't say anything. Ben likes his job. And it seems that no one there wants to tell Garrett and his cuck opinions that he needs to tone it down. Even fake news Gord. I love the show, the content, the personalities are great. Now, look, make up your mind, Dav. You got to make up your mind. Do you like the show or don't you?
Well, he's already made up his mind about what we do.
Then were you going to
I listen to you guys every morning, and it's a great way to start the day and stay informed. He says, don't read this part. The compliment does not count since this is a criticism.
Oh.
Again, we miss my buddy. Is she okay, and does she need a Ben 10?
Oh.
Ziredi Morgel. Okay, now listen. Dav, thank you for the email. We always appreciate the feedback. You've got to decide whether you like it or not. And there are plenty of things that you could listen to. We're obviously happy if you listen to us. But if I'm the Weet-Bix of the show, it's time for you to find another show.
So, yeah. Interestingly, Dav, must I just disagree with Gareth just to make you happy, despite my own views and stuff? Is my role just to be your...
And by the way...
Your contrarian person.
Isn't Ben really argumentative a lot of the time? I mean, Sia, you've been here a lot. You understand. Ben can be very objectionable to me.
He's very... What's the term? He just has his opinion, I mean, and he'll stay to it.
Yeah, I don't think Ben's trying to please anybody. You don't either. I don't think you're not afraid of your job. Ben, you don't need this.
Well, Gareth, it's not the sum total of my life, no.
No. Mm. See, you don't need this. You don't go home in the evenings and go, oh, I've got to go into that hellhole tomorrow.
No, but I'm just not an argumentative person.
No, you're not. Okay, so listen. If that's what you want, we'll bring in... You know what we'll do? We'll bring in someone really obnoxious, like Floyd Shivambu, to host the show with me. How about that? Then you can have as much argument as you like.
That Weet-Bix will turn into Rice Krispies. Yep, there'll be a snap, a crackle, and a pop.
See, who is XXXTentacion? Who is this?
As a 23-year-old, I'm meant to be hip and happening and know these things. I still haven't
you're
wrapped
telling
my
me
head.
You're not even cool enough to know who XXXTentacion is?
What happened there? He's 20 years old, and then he just got shot and died this week, and people have their opinions around that. And
but I heard he beat his girlfriend. And
I don't know. Why'd you bring him up?
Well, I don't know. So here's the timeline I had. Spotify announced in May of this year that XXXTentacion or whatever will be banned from their promoted playlists along with R. Kelly after allegations of abuse emerged. He apparently beat his girlfriend so bad her eye popped out.
Jesus.
Yeah.
How do you...
He's 20 years old and this is how he treats women. Anyway, he was full of, like, face tattoos and he had this... He had, like, almost mini dreads, I suppose. If you know who I'm talking about, there's a picture going around. Then in June, Spotify announced Rest in Peace XXXTentacion on its homepage with a specially promoted playlist advertised all over the platform. That doesn't sound right. Spotify, you got to get your shit together. You can't stand for women's rights, and then as soon as the dude dies, you make a special playlist and he's on your front page.
I think they fell into the trap of trying to be relevant.
Yeah, trying to be cool. Well, I tell you something. I don't care who this
like, pick a name as well. We can't even pronounce this.
Like, what's your name, you fucking idiot?
Well, he can't answer.
Oh, sorry, he's dead. Okay, well, if anybody knows who XXXTentacion is, then please, I'd love to give me a very brief explanation. He can't be that important. I read the news every day. I keep up to speed with what's going on in entertainment. I'd never heard of this dude until he was dead. I didn't even know he'd beaten his girlfriend and that was a big story. But then when I did a little research yesterday to just try and bring myself up to speed, all I could find was that he hit his girlfriend so hard that her eye popped out.
Mm.
That's pretty hectic.
And look, we keep up with the times. We now know who Little Yachty is.
Yeah, we know who Little Yachty is. We played Little Yachty. Yeah. Didn't we play Little Yachty yesterday?
Yes.
Yes, we did.
We got it going on. We got our cool points.
Yeah, let me just... Because I actually screenshotted this one thing. Here it is. XXXTent. For everyone who keeps putting up rest in peace for this guy, he was shot and killed, and yes, that's sad. However, this is obviously something someone wrote. However, he was also on trial for brutally beating the shit out of his pregnant girlfriend till she went blind in one eye. So no, I can't say this is one guy I'll be giving RIP for. This is obviously a tribute, you know, and I'm saying tribute with kind of inverted commas. this dude beat up a pregnant chick until she was blind, regretting posting his music the other day. I got educated recently. Violence against women sucks. I mean, there's but like a picture of her, one eye's like out.
Ooh. Yeah, so karma actually worked. So rest in peace. Oh. Why does everyone gravitate to that? Even if it's someone who is actually did have a decent life, what difference does it make if you say rest in peace?
Mm.
Like, what is this whole obsession with this?
I don't. It's, you know, we have this reverence for the dead. It's I suppose it comes from being respectful. It comes from people thinking that when they die, they don't want to be disrespected. Deep down, I suppose that's really what it is. Like deep down inside, the reason that we don't like to be mean about dead people is because we don't want people to be mean about us when we're dead.
Yeah, because they already hurt our feelings, seeing as we know.
Yeah, but you sort of maybe paying it forward spiritually. I don't know. Anyway, I thought this was great. I got I saw a bunch of really interesting posts yesterday. I was scrolling through Instagram, and I didn't go onto Twitter. I haven't done that in ages. But Facebook and Jordan, some dude Jordan, says a man came into work today for his 75th birthday alone, and I mistakenly gave him the wrong ice cream. He said, instead of throwing it away, to just eat it. So I took my lunch break to sit down with him, and before he left, he hugged me, thanking him for the best birthday since his wife passed.
Oh.
And then he fingered me.
Oh. Ay, yeah.
Okay, so just be careful, kids.
I really thought, oh, this just is be careful. Going somewhere so nice.
Don't do this. Some very, like, disturbing things. So he's this rapper, this XXX Tentation, whatever. Jase Dwayne Onfroy. I mean, what a name. I think XXX Tentation is actually better.
Oh, jeez.
That's a shit name. He made this scene where he, like, hangs himself in front of these kids, and he puts the noose around the kids' heads, and what a douchebag.
So it's a good thing he's gone.
Someone says he was a cuck rapper. Guys, XXXTentacion is the guy who had a music video where a black kid lynches a white kid. Fact of the matter, there's something missing without Mavale, someone says. She definitely had a way to keep the guys on the show in check. Okay, yeah, she would shut your ball talk up, chop chop. Yes, all right, true, fair enough. We're gonna remedy that. We definitely know there's a missing quotient of femininity on the show.
Yeah, and it'll happen.
We're at work on it. It's not like we think this is how it should be. You know, our little in-studio patriarchy. Trust me.
Whiskey drinking, soccer watching,
yeah,
patriarchy.
Look, even Sia started to talk with a deep voice.
Know what I mean? What can I say?
Morning, Garrett, Sia, and Ben. Dove is a deuce. What a confused MF. I think he needs to go and have his meds or see a psychologist for being schizo. Love the show, guys. Have a fantastic two-day break. It's the weekend, baby. Steven. Okay, so Steven disagreeing. And then someone else saying, fuck you, Dav. Garrett's rants are as funny as hell. Well, you see, this is what's interesting. It's like everybody has a different take. I don't hate Dav. Let him have his thoughts. I'm happy to hear them. But you don't have to listen to anything anymore. This is not the 80s.
Mm.
You know? There's so many things online. You can get anything you want. I ordered the Cliff Central headphones yesterday. Good. Good. This is smart. I ordered them yesterday, says someone taking advantage of the special on Takealot, and the shipping is free. Uh-huh. I can't wait to get my pair. Lots of love, Vinny. Well, lots of love back at you, Vinny. Let us know when you get them, whether you're happy or not. If you're not happy, tell us. If you love them, tell us. I think it's a cool... You know what I did yesterday is I bought three. I went online and bought three, and I put them in a cupboard at home. Well, when they arrive, I'll put them in a cupboard at home. And then I'm going to give them to people at Christmas.
That's cool.
I planned ahead, right? See, that's smart.
It's what, so yeah. 5 months ahead, but yeah. You planned ahead regardless.
Guys, you got that Afrikaans joke wrong. The punchline is actually the yay blaze still part. No, it's the dress is ugly. But good, you found another, I don't know, you found a layer. You can explain it to me one day. Gareth, Ben, and Sia, it's the weekend, babies. Please give Gareth a hug in support of Argentina's loss.
No, I want to see him have go cry fit like that child.
Shame that kid. Yo, that kid cried a lot, huh?
That kid's young. He'll bounce back.
He's fine. He's learning about life.
Ben, this is from Megs. He said, would you consider doing a video about the unsung participants of Cliff Central? Every once in a while, Gareth mentions a name not mentioned before with no bio on that person at all. Like, I suppose you're talking to, you're talking about the occasions where I'll put Celeste from sales on the microphone or Dory or, you know, these are people who don't necessarily appear on the shows.
Megs, that's a super smart idea.
Okay.
In 2023, when I have time to make other videos, sure.
Sure. Oh. Isn't that nice of him, though? At least he's prepared, Ben, to get involved.
I'm going to start scripting it as we speak. Yeah.
Let's just see here. Sia, if you were to be dismissed from Cliff Central, where would you go and what would you do? That's an interesting question.
I would be a house husband.
Yeah, that's still plan A here, Sia. Still holding out for the dream here.
Sia, let me tell you, you'd be a very good house husband.
Y'all, like, I'm putting myself out there with open arms and an open bank account. Just make it happen. That's what it would be.
Someone said there's a bunch of pictures of dudes who are apparently big-time fraudsters. They advertise pest control products. Don't allow them onto your property. They're operating in all areas. Please send to all broadcast groups. That's from Jazakala. Well, there are these look at the pictures of these dudes. There's one very suspicious-looking Indian dude. One who looks kind of like Udo Karlsson.
Get
back to the studio, Udo.
Guy who's got like a very... his face looked like mine yesterday when I'd had the microneedling.
Look, he's seen life. He's experienced a lot.
He's had a tough life, that dude.
What's going on with all of these gangs and these whatnots? Because the Rolex gang is...
Have they struck again?
They're back, but some have been arrested this week after a shootout.
Mm. You know, you got to think it's quite impractical, the Rolex gang. I mean, is there like an iWatch gang or, you know, maybe like a Swatch gang? They're a bit lower brow.
I heard what happened was that these guys, and this is where, you know, we talk about identity theft and information and databases and all that stuff. So apparently what happened here is these guys actually got hold of the list of people in Johannesburg and South Africa that have Rolexes. And those are the people they go after. You wouldn't want to be on that list.
That's actually quite...
That's scary, right?
I'm not condoning what they're doing, but it's very smart.
It's very smart.
It is a smart way to go about it.
It's using technology here to help you in your business,
which is stealing. A person who buys a Rolex has X amount just to play around with.
But they're after those watches in particular, and watches are a very big investment. So here's someone else sent me this. Deputy Commissioner of Police Anne-Marie Elaine says, be warned, there is a group going to homes pretending to be officials from Home Affairs. You know, I know we've got to get to the five things. In the last week, I've been approached by three or four people, not necessarily people I know very well, but people who I'm acquainted with, to get me involved in what is essentially these pyramid schemes. I'm sure you've also had this in the last couple of days. It seems a lot of people, because there's, you know, the economy's in trouble and a lot of people are looking for work and trying to get rich quick, and they believe anything at this stage because if you present people with hope, they'll go for it. We can't help it as human beings. That's what we do in a world where things aren't going your way. You've got to believe, right? Mm-hmm. And these pyramid schemes, these, you know, where kind of you'll pay X amount in a month and you'll get, you know, a really discounted trip once a year, and you have to bring in four people. And then those four people will pay your fee, so you don't have to pay it. Then they'll each get four people, and you'll earn from that. It's classic pyramid scheme stuff.
Yeah.
Bernie Madoff, you know. And if you do get these approaches from people, do yourself a favor. Just ask them for the name of the company, Google it, and all the shit comes up about what crooks these people are. So don't fall for this stuff. I mean, these are not idiots that have been proposing this to me. They genuinely fall for it because it's pitched to them really well. It, you know, it all looks very slick. They include your research, and they've got statistics, and they have this really cool landing page. And if you become a part of this thing, you are in hook, line, and sinker. They will take you, and then you'll be stuck in some debit order vortex where you'll just never be able to get out. So be very careful.
I still do reference.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Have you had any of these approaches?
Not personally.
Don't fall for it.
I like to reference a skit John Oliver did 2 years ago around Herbalife. And if anyone is being approached by anything.
Amway, Herbalife.
Just watch this monologue of his. He basically goes on to expose exactly how the structure does not work. Mm-hmm. He says, if you are being asked to join something and you have to have like four people under you, that pattern can only be repeated, he said, I think like 60 something times before the entire Earth's population is capped.
Well, also so. until the whole thing collapses. But the fact is, like, here's what I said to the one dude. He was like, oh, no, but, it, you know, you can get really cheap flights and accommodations. So I'm like, yeah, all right. Maybe they've got a deal. Who knows? But I said, here's the problem. You sign on your four friends. Let's say something goes wrong with the four people they each sign on. One of those people doesn't ever get their trip or they never get the points or they get the debit orders but no benefits. Who are they going to complain to? Mm. They're going to go up the chain? You don't even know who's two people above you on the chain. Do you have a number for them? No, I don't have a number for them. Do you know where they live? No. Do you have their contact details? No. So how are you going to escalate this if it's a problem? Oh, I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm. Actually, pardon me, I just researched now. The common multi-level marketing firm technique of recruiting five people.
Yeah,
they
call it network marketing or something.
Please, it's all just a scam. Pyramid scheme. And they all have to recruit five other people. Yeah. That pattern can only be done 13 times before it exceeds the population of Earth. So I was very generous.
Oh, I'll tell you what. And most people are going to go, nah, this is bullshit. I'm not getting involved. All right, let's look at the five things you need to know today. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
So first of all, Patricia DeLille says if she's found guilty, she will pay her own legal fees. Can we give this woman a round of applause? She's, you know, if she's found guilty, I wish more politicians would say, I'll pay if I lose. If you win, sure, you get the other side pays. But if you lose, you shouldn't let the state or the city or the municipality or the province pay. You should pay. As a politician, it should stop with you. So well done, Patricia. That's a nice short and sweet story to start your Friday morning. About 50 young South Africans have been stranded in China after a visa scam. Yeah, it's understood that these South Africans were offered jobs as teachers, English teachers, in China, but didn't have the correct documents. International Relations Minister Lindiwe Sisulu has confirmed that about 50 young South Africans have been left stranded in China because of this visa scam. It's understood that they were offered jobs as English teachers, but they didn't have any of the documentation. Beijing authorities found that they were working with study visas in contravention of the immigration law. Didn't you want to do this once, go and teach English in
and
Southeast Asia?
Look at what is happening right now.
Be very careful. Cecilia says she's instructed a department to work with Chinese authorities to have their passports released so they can return home. Oy, now they've paid for the ticket. They thought they were going there to earn money. It's ended up costing them money, and they're back home. And now you know that they're going to have problems traveling anywhere again because of this. Their visa is going to be on the international system, marked as these guys are probably worth watching very carefully. Geez. So, let's hope that gets sorted out, because, I mean, no young person should be prevented from traveling anywhere in the world to find employment or to get job experience. So I hope the Department of Home Affairs, I mean of International Affairs, can help them. Becky Cele has sent a strong message to the trucking industry after an N3 blockade arrest. A couple of arrests were made. The Minister of Police has said, following the arrest of 62 drivers on the N3 at Van Rennen's Pass in KwaZulu-Natal, that police action will be very tough in maintaining law and order. This barbaric behavior will not be tolerated, Dele said. Swift and tough action by the police is once again an indication of our commitment to maintain law and order in the country. No amount of pressure will divert our focus from stamping hard the authority of the state. Whew. So there's Becky Dele swinging the police baton around. This is interesting. From News 24... Bogus doctor released on bail, warned not to practice or contact patients. Yep, the Bellville Magistrates Court heard a case of a bogus doctor who was warned not to contact any of his patients after they released him on 5,000 rand bail on Thursday. Jeremy Leonda Bompen, who who's been charged with fraud for allegedly practicing without a valid license. Imagine you go to a doctor. They don't have a license. It's like me going to Sia's house and saying, Sia, could you do this amputation for me? I trust you, even though you don't have a license.
I know you have a knife. Yeah. Can you do it?
Apparently, he's only one of six people arrested in Cape Town last Thursday for allegedly practicing without valid licenses. So don't think you can get away with that, pretending you have a license, when you don't. And speaking of medicine and doctors, the rich will subsidize the poor. Motsoaledi outlines universal health care plan. The first set of enabling legislation paving the way for universal health care in South Africa has been gazetted by Cabinet. Health Minister Aaron Motsoaledi announced on Thursday. Motsoaledi presented two bills to the media on Thursday that would lead to massive changes in the way public health and medical aid coverage are handled, the NHI bill and the Medical Aid Schemes Amendment Bill. The minister said that the essence of the NHI is that the rich will subsidize the poor, the young will subsidize the old, and the healthy must subsidize the sick. Well, that sounds great. Doesn't it? I'm just going to get old, I'll get unhealthy, and I'll make sure I'm poor. So I don't have to pay for other people.
Has any progressive nation delivered a similar speech with their healthcare of late?
Only in nations where it's sustainable, where they actually have a middle-class population that can afford to pay for the poor, and we don't. We have 5 million taxpayers who are responsible for the taxes that give 17 million grant recipients their money every month. And now he wants to do to healthcare what... boggles my mind. He wants to make you and I and everybody else who's already paying tax, e-tolls, well, I'm not paying those, electricity rates, which are extraordinary and exceptional and keep going up by double-digit figures every year, the petrol price increases, which, of course, the largest part of those is tax, licenses here, fees here, municipal fees, water and electricity, all those kinds of things. He wants to now add to that a nice tax on top. I mean, do these guys in government not understand that when you do this to people, they just send their money, if they have any money, most people don't, they'll just have to go insolvent, they'll just have to go into debt. And the ones who do have money are taking it away, so you can't have it anyway, government. It's just such a disaster. Anyway, we'll leave that alone for the moment. Maybe get some experts in to teach us a little bit about how it all works. So there it is. That's the news you need to know this morning, the five things that are all important. We'll get to the sport with Ben in just a second and check in on cryptocurrencies as well. Don't forget, because it is a Friday, we're going to find out about how to look after your plants. And that's with the Lifestyle Home and Garden. And Lifestyle Home Garden, of course, is on the corner of Esterhout and Beyers Noordeur in Randburg, Rand Park Ridge. You can go to lifestyle.co.za. And this morning I will tell you about herbs in your kitchen. Ben, you grew some stuff on your balcony.
Yeah, I'm actually going to get some more pots this weekend to grow some more things.
What else did you grow? Kale?
Well, that was my first foray into it.
Okay, so you're interested in doing others now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll find out from Ben, and you'll find out from me what you can do to fill your kitchen with herbs that smell good, that add variety and flavor and color and interest to your food, and lots of other cool things. Stick around for that. Bitcoin is trading at $6,664.80. And Ethereum at $517.25. Let's find out from Ben what's happening in sport. Take it away.
Well, Gareth, Argentina absolutely implode. Their World Cup dreams are in tatters. A Swedish fan looks after a footballer's home. Junior Bock has been banned for saying something rather disgraceful on the field. Rossi makes a couple of changes for tomorrow's match. And England hammer Australia in cricket again. Yeah, Argentina. Ronaldo Messi. Lionel Messi came back from retirement for this. He's, the look on his face is just a bit sad.
He walked
off
that field like Jesus walking towards the crucifixion. Yeah. It was horrible.
Face like a smack to ask. Well, arguably world's best footballer, depending on who you talk to. He saw his team suffer a 3-0 defeat. He barely got the ball. Everybody was just useless. And because obviously Argentina were pressing for the goal, their already leaky defense was even more stretched than usual. And 3-0 the result against Croatia. Their goalkeeper started off going full carriers by just kicking the ball to a striker, which is a bit annoying, I guess, for Argentine fans. Second goal by Luka Modric was good. And then the third goal was just salt in those wounds, as they say. Now, they are big wounds because today in the World Cup, oh, bloody exciting, you get to see Iceland take on Nigeria. Now, this will take at 5 o'clock today, Friday, South African time. Iceland win this, Argentina is screwed.
Yeah.
No other real way of saying it. Iceland could have a great chance of going through. Nigeria, well, look, I don't think they're going to finish anywhere but the bottom of this group. But, yeah, all eyes on that one. From results yesterday, other games were pretty boring, actually. Australia, they drew with Denmark, 1-1. France scraped through against Peru, so France do go through. Peru now go out, they go back home. That was all the action from yesterday. But today, along with the Iceland-Nigeria match, it'll be at 5. Brazil will take on Costa Rica. Of course, Brazil had a frustrating 1-1 draw with Switzerland in their first game. Mm-hmm. That match will kick things off at 2 o'clock. And then tonight's game at 8 o'clock will be Serbia versus Switzerland. That's going to be quite an interesting match.
South American football's just not what it used to be.
No.
Am I being unkind?
No, I think going into the tournament, it was fair to say that it was going to be European team was going to win this. Which one, I'm not entirely sure just yet. I still don't believe Spain are going to do it. Belgium is my dark horse team. But yeah, I mean, Colombia was shite. Brazil looks sketchy. Argentina, they look crap. There's no other way to describe it. They just do not look good. So I think it's going to go back to all eyes on European teams. For the rest of the weekend's fixtures, we've got Belgium versus Tunisia tomorrow, Korea Republic versus Mexico tomorrow, and Germany versus Sweden. And then on Sunday, you get to see England versus Panama, Japan versus Senegal, and Poland versus Colombia. Those last two matches are huge because Japan and Senegal, of course, won their first match in that group. Poland and Colombia, they lost. So whoever wins Japan versus Senegal, they're pretty much through. And then Poland versus Colombia, well, that's going to be the two favorites of the group going into the tournament. They literally are fighting for survival. Wow. In rugby, a junior Bok has been banned for
how?
6 weeks.
Because what did he do? What did he say?
Gareth, to an English player, he made this revolting facial expression and says, "That is what your mother will look like while sucking my cock." That's what he said on the field of play. And he's been banned for 6 weeks.
Oh, that's excellent.
You can't have this highly offensive facial gesturing. He was imitating a sucking motion.
Oh, wow.
Directing it at a player during a semi-final of the World Championships.
Isn't that great?
Dion van der Merwe, you potty-mouthed little bastard.
Wow.
I say little, he's gargantuan young man. But still, you can't say things like that in the field. Shame on you.
I love that. I mean...
You love it.
Well, you see, we would never have heard this stuff before. They didn't have microphones and cameras that were so HD that you could lip sync and lip read. And
yeah, it's not really like the cameras and stuff, but people are now telling on each other. In the
past, that's even worse because it's almost like social media. Where
This person said something racist, or this person's nasty to girls, or this person's got a bad attitude. Or this person's got mean things to say about Hillary Clinton.
In the past, that guy would just be blixing at the next ruck.
Right.
You can't just blix him a guy. So now you've got to go, oh, ref, he just said that I'm sucking his mother's cock or
embarrassing.
Whatever.
How embarrassing.
Obviously, I messed that up on purpose. But where you will not find such crude and dreadful behavior is tomorrow, South Africa versus England. Now, Rusty Rasmus has made some changes. Most notably, Elton Jantjies comes in for Andre Pollard, who slips onto the bench.
Yes.
Now, we all know that Andre Pollard is Erasmus' number one man. So he'll be the guy looking to spearhead the attack, the team, into the World Cup. Mm-hmm. But is Elton Jantjies going to be part of the mix? Now, he's had an up-and-down international career. Of course, you can't say this. You can't be too critical of the guy because, you know, then I get called a racist or whatever. But, I mean, he hasn't really turned in amazing performances. As simple as that. The guy is... I mean, he's phenomenal for Lions. He's played for them forever. He's still only 27. He's hugely experienced, but sometimes he goes missing. Now, if you go back when Andre Pollard wasn't part of the squad, Jantjies was actually pretty decent. He had a couple of really good games for the Boks, and I will admit that straight away. Credit where credit's due. But as soon as Pollard came back, it was almost like the specter of this player was now making Jantjies like go into his shell. And I mean, look, I mean, you can draw into that what you will, but now all the eyes are on this, because you've got to remember there are some amazing young fly halves coming through in SA Rugby right now. Yeah. So Elton can't just be, oh well, we'll see how he goes. We can't see how he goes anymore. He's got to stake his claim, and he's doing it in conditions that are not favourable for him, because we all know he was dog shit when he went to go play for the Stormers. He doesn't play well at Newlands. He doesn't particularly play well on, say, the heavier fields. I mean, Pollard grew up in the Cape, so he's more durable. John Cheese is more of a high felt player, but in international rugby, especially when you go play in New Zealand where it rains every single day, you've got to be able to turn it on every single chance. So much pressure now on John Cheese, and again, it's like you feel bad for the guy that every one of his matches he feels like he has to prove himself, which is, I know, it's unfair in many ways, but this is the nature of international sport. Your chance to prove yourself is actually so slim. It really is. The coach has got to see something in you, and then you have to deliver. Nothing to it but that. The rest of the back line is shaken up, with Warwick Gallant coming in for Vili Leroux, drops the bench with Pollard. Ambrose Papier will be on the bench as cover for the scrum off position, taking over from Ifan Fonsale. And then Jesse Creel and Andre Esterhazen will take over from the centre pairing of Demi de Allender and Lukanya Am. Personally, I like to see Esterhazen and Am paired up, because they are, of course, teammates at the Sharks. But, you know, you can't question Rassie right now. The guy's looking pretty strong. I'm sure he's got a plan. Forward pack's pretty solid. Scott Brits, yeah, he's coming into the mix there. So Chiliboy Ralapela will start, Brits on the bench, and Boggy Manambi will get a nice break along with Akathana Merva. Otherwise, bloody strong team. The English have got Danny Cipriani at 10, which means they literally have either just lost the plot or they're having a roll of the dice. Sure. Either way, I wouldn't say this team is going to be strong enough to beat the Boks on Saturday, and I think that's a fair call. In other news around English people, well, they're hammering the Aussies at cricket. It maybe isn't the hardest thing to do, but still, you've got to get it done, because even as the saying goes, even you get, everyone gets tired of eating ice cream. You know, you can only do so much of one thing, and not beating England Australia every single time. Australia played well yesterday. They scored 310 for 8. Mm-hmm. What did England do? They got 314 for 4 with 32 balls left. And that's the dicking. It's nothing else. That's the dicking.
That's horrible.
Johnny Bairstow has suddenly become an ODI god. He scored 79. Jason Roy also pretty good, 101. And then right at the end, Joss Butler just really kicked them in their short and curlies with a 54 of 29 balls to basically say, you guys are shite. And that was cricket. So I had to look for the rest of the rugby fixtures for the weekend. Of course, New Zealand was still taking on France. Very experimentational team kind of coming into the things with New Zealand. Darren McKenzie is now playing fly half. Many believe in Sliver's career that's where he was more suited than to fullback. Anyway, he's going to be a great fullback, and I'm pretty sure he'll be exciting at 10 for Saturday. They'll take on France, 9:35 South African time. Australia versus Ireland. Now, this series hasn't got a lot of press. Well, mostly because I just couldn't really care too much about the Aussies. This game's going to be interesting because it's 1-1 in the series, 12 o'clock South African time from the Allianz Stadium. Going to be a good match, that. Pretty tight. Lots on stake for both teams because they're kind of in the same place, really. They've had the ups and downs, but right now they're just sort of teetering on that sort of 3-4-5 kind of spot in world rugby. And then South Africa versus England, as I said, 5:05. If you love rugby so much and don't like anyone else in your company, Argentina versus Scotland. You can watch all 4 test matches in one day. Hooray. Back to the World Cup. A Swedish guy, he won a competition to house it, a flash apartment during the World Cup. Not just any apartment. The Swedish striker. Swedish striker, Marcus Berg, decided to open up his apartment for a competition. He needed a house sitter while he went to Russia, and this dude won the competition.
Oh, no. Would you want someone, a stranger, to...
Well, of course, I wouldn't, and you wouldn't, but this guy's got it. So Jesper Bergqvist from Umeå in eastern Sweden.
Mind you, the Swedish. I mean, they're not going to do anything wrong.
What's he going to do? Misplace a fork?
Yeah, they're very well behaved.
So all he has to do is take care of the plants, explore the city, and cheer for Sweden during the games. Right. Those are his only 3 rules. He can have his mates around.
That's great.
And it's a beautiful flat.
Plus, you're staying in this footballer's place. It's nice.
950 square feet apartment. Sure. Pretty nice.
I don't think he's going to trash it. It would be that, you know, the fallout would be very bad.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, the Icelandic players. There's all the talk about who's having sex, who's not having sex, who's trying to have sex to win whoppers.
Is this specifically with Icelandic players?
Well, the World Cup, basically. Okay. So the Icelandic players, there is no sex ban. The coach said this is bollocks. But basically, they must only have sex with their wives. That's the only thing he's kind of saying. So the wives all arrived today. Sorry, they arrived yesterday. They take on Nigeria today. Oh. And, yeah, they're going to have sexy, fun times. And if they win today, well...
Lots of maybe even anal.
Country duty for the wives, Gareth. Country duty. That's all, right. All your big sport for the weekend. There's the Travelers Championship in golf. You're into that. There's the BMW, something rather on European tour. So lots of interesting sport all around.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ben. Someone says here, I went to see Belinda Davids last night. Remember she was on the show on Wednesday?
Oh, yes.
Geez, I was so drunk. I still am. And it was, I was scared it was Kanye and Bao. She looked like Michael Jackson Anushka. What?
Still drunk. Oh, I think perhaps she was saying she bumped into Kanye Bao, and she was scared
she
that it was
like Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Yes, because Belinda did say that there were a whole lot of celebrities coming to her opening night.
Yes.
So, okay, I get it, Anushka. She's saying, yeah, Kanye Bao looked like Michael Jackson, correct. But you shouldn't get so drunk at Emperor's Palace. How would you find your way home? hey, guys, happy Friday. I'm headed to South Africa on Sunday for 2 weeks. My boyfriend is going to meet the parents.
Can you
get the Cliff Central headphones in store? Have a fabulous weekend. Peace and love, peace and love. Shannon, they deliver within like a day or two. So if you order now, they'll deliver to the address you're coming to in South Africa, and you can collect them there. It's that simple, man. Way easier than going to the shops. Just tuned in and not sure if we discussed the fact that the New Zealand Prime Minister gave birth and is now on maternity leave. Do you remember we talked about her some time back, and now she's apparently given birth, so the New Zealand Prime Minister is now at home, busy with the kid, and the husband is helping her out, and the New Zealand taxpayers are sitting without a Prime Minister, and they're still paying for her to have her leave.
They have...
You know what I mean.
Someone in her place.
Yes, the Deputy Prime Minister's there, obviously.
So they do have a Prime Minister.
Yes, I know.
And other taxpayers pay for when other people take off sick. So this is fine. It's leave. She's allowed to.
Morning, guys. I've also been approached recently with people trying to get me to sign up to a Ponzi scheme. I Google company first and you get all the info you need to make an informed decision. Steer clear, Brendan. Yeah, Brendan, thank you. I thought it was just me. I thought, you know, do I have sucker written on my forehead? Do I have idiot written on me somewhere that I didn't see? Is it stapled to my back on a piece of cardboard? But three times in the last 2 weeks, someone has come up and said to me, you're interested in this. And these are people I know. Ben, what are the names of your wolf foster family? You know, like Mowgli had Akira or Shakira or whatever her name was. Arkayla. Sorry.
No,
it's Arkayla.
Is it Arkayla?
Arkayla was the mother wolf.
Oh, okay.
There's a documentary on Netflix about Herbalife. Actually, Asiya was talking about the John Oliver one. It's so wrong. They play on the hopes of those who just dream for a better life. Yeah, and there's so many desperate people. It's kind of like church, you know.
Bagheera. Sorry, but it was like annoying
Bagheera
me.
Bagheera was the tiger. Panther.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
Shere Khan's the tiger. Bagheera is the panther. Baloo is the bear.
Yes.
Akela's the mother wolf. Come on, I know my jungle story.
And Trevor's the snake.
No, it's not Trevor. It's Car. Car.
Ben, where do you come from sometimes?
So your wolf foster family didn't have names?
No, of course
people
not.
Asking. I wonder if the government has seen that this communism idea doesn't work, or maybe other countries weren't doing it right. Gary. Yeah,
no,
Gary.
Of course they know it doesn't work, but it doesn't affect them. When they get sick, they'll just fly to Singapore.
Which barbarian in the studio is banging away at their keyboard like a drunkard?
Look, I wouldn't say I'm banging it like a drunkard. I got lots of things to type during the show. God, back off.
People are very critical today, Ben. Favorite moments from the Argentina game. Supersport commentator describing the Argentine manager as looking like he's en route to the pub for a fight was second only to Fat Maradona's pained facial expressions.
Oh, Fat Maradona, he gets wheeled out for these things. You know, we were actually talking about him last night. His net worth is apparently something like $100,000.
Oh, shame. Is that all he's
his
got?
His salary in the 80s was like $18 million.
Millions. That's all he's got now? Shame. And he'll drink it all up on this trip. He's probably in arrears.
Do you know who else? Oh, we can get into that after 7. But Lisa Marie Presley.
Is she drinking heavily?
No, she's basically, her whole Presley fortune has now dwindled to about $14 million. It's a mess.
Oh, that's horrible. Okay, Sia, let's have some positive stuff, please. Please.
All right, so this morning I want to just give a bit of a shout out to the police in Port Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah?
Specifically, a place called Kabega Park. I'm horrible, and I'm sorry if I butchered that name. But they have basically taken in an abandoned 3-month-old baby.
Not Kibler Park?
No, K-A-B-E-J-G-A, Kabega Park. They've taken in an abandoned 3-month-old baby girl, and they basically showered her with love, going above and beyond what they have to do, turning this horrible situation into something amazing. So the police, we know every single day they deal with a bunch of different things, hardened criminals and, you know, the worst situation society has. But last week, Thursday, they stepped in as mothers and fathers to this 3-month-old abandoned baby before she was handed over to a place of safety, because that process was kind of taking a long time. So they stepped in. Police spokesperson Colonel Priscilla Naidu said that the infant was found laying in a muddy ditch by a man who was just walking around town. And the man found the baby, took her to an NGO, but the NGO couldn't take in another child at that current moment. So that's when the baby had to be handed over to police authorities. And Colonel Naidu says the entire staff at the police station just stepped up. There were staff members who brought in feeding bottles for the baby. Some brought in clothes and blankets. And each throughout the day were just taking care of this child. People were saying they were walking and visiting the center, and they were seeing these police men and women just carrying this baby. And this is when really our service men and women have to be saluted for going above and beyond what their job description is. So in good news as well, finally the baby was handed over to a place of safety eventually. And even better news, the mother of the child was found, 24 years old, and currently is being charged with child abandonment and will appear in court. But yeah, this morning just wanted to focus on those police men and women from Kabega Park all the way in PE for just stepping up and taking care of this 3-month-old baby girl in the meantime. I think it's so sweet and awesome. That's just it by Sia for this morning.
I love it. Thanks, Sia. That's very nice. Sure. Lots of stuff to think about and talk about this morning. We'll get into some of the news in a moment or two. Hopefully you're having a good start to your day. It's Friday, the 22nd of June.
This is CliffCentral.com.